Okay. Good afternoon. Great to see so many of you. So in this week's parasha, Parasha Shemini, the parasha talks about which animals are kosher, which animals are not kosher. And I had mentioned a few weeks ago that we're going to dive back in after our topic that was dedicated to completely to karbanos and why we have karbanos. We're going to go a little more broadly and look at a hashkafas haTorah regarding animals. I don't like to say the hashkafas haTorah. I don't know if there is such a thing. We have shuvim panim laTorah. There are a lot of different perspectives. We're going to look at specifically the approach of Rav Cook, Rav Avram, Rav Yisrael Cohen Cook, in the very, very beginning of the 20th century. He published articles in a Hebrew journal. This is before he came to Israel, but it was a Hebrew journal in Europe called Hapeles, and he had articles in it under the title Afikim Banegev. Afikim Banegev, the language based on the pasuk that we say in Shir HaMalos before benching, Shuvah Hashem Eshuvusenu, right? Hashem, you should return our returning, right? Kafikim Banegev, like streams in the south. And his title, Kafikim Banegev, were kind of visions and thoughts about Achres HaYamim, fascinating thoughts about what it's going to be like in Achres HaYamim. They were later republished from that Hebrew journal, Hapeles, in the Otzros Re'ia, it's just the gathering of all the different writings of Rav Cook, Chelek Beis, if you want to look it up, it's on Hebrew books, which is how I found it, and I was able to read it inside. We're going to quote segments of it. You'll see a number of the sources on your source sheet are straight from that, from those articles, Afikim Banegev. We're going to quote parts of it, but everything that I'm going to tell you today, you can take my word for it, or you can read it inside, as I always tell people to look things up inside. It's what I do myself. So you are more than welcome to find it on Otros Re'ia. If you're really curious, I believe it starts on page 88 in Chelek Beis, and you're welcome to read it. It's about 15 pages of Rav Cook's Hashkafa on animals. And it's really a fascinating Hashkafa, and part of what's fascinating about it is that he actually starts the article by talking about the secular notion of, like, animal rights. And he writes, if you look in source number one, this is the very beginning of the article, he says, Yesh anaf ikaria chad shel hiskadmut hanoshis yayoser gavoa. There's one branch of this development, hiskadmus, this human development towards a higher status, shehu omid ke'es, that it stands now, lefi mitzad hakotchelara, which is culture, right? Hanochaches, that stands before us, rak matzav chalom na'im, shel eza idealistim yoser kitzoniim. It stands as a dream, a great dream of these idealistics who are too extreme for us. But really, he says, this is a she'ifa, it's a desire in the musra of the normal of man, simas ayin lemishpatam shel balei chayim b'malei hamuvan, to place a proper eye on the rules of, again, animals in the proper scope. Hafilosafis ha'achzorios b'yoser, the wicked philosophy, osin shapakru gavoa gavoa, those who have risen above and that hefker, that made themselves like, you know, hefker more and more, al piashkafasam al hamuskar and oshia minukudas hafilosafia kolis hechlikul adam kolachar al pidarko lechanik bekirbo legamri as haregesh hayosher b'negal ba'achayim. He says the people in general who have made themselves hefker regarding this issue have philosophically told people more and more to cut off from themselves the feeling inside, right, regarding animals. What does that mean? Amnan lo hispiku velo yaspiku al kol hischach musam lishanos teva hatzedek hativi asher nata yotra adam bekirbo. He says something fascinating. However, it's not enough and it never will be enough with all their wisdom to remove the righteous natural instinct of a person that's drawn after a person inside. Meaning, what he's saying, and we'll continue to read in a second, he says, even though there are people who will tell you not to care about animals, animals are nothing, they're meant for our service, right? He says there's a natural instinct that exists in the human being, human beings at large, a righteous natural feeling, to have an instinct toward animals that it's not really right to be killing animals, it's not really right to be using animals in the way that we use them. And he says, V'afal pi shebiyachas lebalei chayim hudome mamish lezik shel gacheles keha v'amuma hatzmuna tachas gal efer gadol me'od. He said, even though, regarding animals, it feels literally like a spark of a coal that's very light, that's buried under the ashes. Mikol makom i'esher lahem lahachesh samuchash b'chol lev ragish. It's impossible to extinguish it completely. K'chisar musari klali hu minan oshi. There's this, again, this piece that's lacking. And man, mashaloya kaim as hergesh hatov v'na'aleh, lebilti kachas chai kol chai b'shul tzarchan osav. You're never going to extinguish completely that little bit of feeling that we have as people that we shouldn't be killing animals for our own benefits. And what's fascinating about this, and Rav Kook's starting point, and again, I'm not quoting to you every single thing he says, nor am I reading everything inside, but what's fascinating about his starting point is it's like this feeling that he has, right? It can't be that we're supposed to just be killing animals for our benefit. It can't be that that's the Hashkafas HaTorah. It can't be that that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And I'm telling you now from the beginning, I see some faces, it's a novel approach. It's a compelling and novel approach to animals in the Torah. And we're going to have to understand each piece of what he says. But his starting point is, these secularists are onto something. They may be far off, it may be too soon, as we're going to get to, but they're onto something. What they're onto is that the natural feeling of a human being is, it's not, you don't feel right killing an animal for your own benefit. It doesn't feel right. Yes?
What year is this being written?
These were written, I believe, in 1903, 1904, if I remember correctly, but definitely in that first, the first decade of the 1900s. No, and we'll get to that exact point. And no, he was not only was he not a vegetarian. I'm going to ask you to hold the question a minute, because let's develop it a little bit more. But he was actually not in favor of becoming a vegetarian. We'll get to that. Yes. Right. So let's develop what he says, and then we'll get to his conclusion. So what he starts with, he actually starts with a Gemara Bava Metzia. That's just an interesting Gemara. The Gemara Bava Metzia, source number 2, says Ayadei Ma'isa Ba'u Yisurin. The Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had 13 years of Yisurin, of punishments. And the Gemara says that it wasn't just random, this punishment. It was through a story. Well, what was the story? Again, 13 years of Yisurin. What happened? So, Maihi, what's the story? Dahu agalad havi kamamtu leil shchita. Azya talya l'resha bekanfei derevi kabachi. There was an agala, there was a calf that was going to be shechted. Now, what did this calf do? He went and he put his head on kind of the shoulder of Rebbe and started crying. Again, this animal, this calf, went to Rebbe and kind of started crying that he didn't want to get shechted. Amar lei zil lekach no tzartza. Right? And what did Rebbe say to the animal? Go! That's what your purpose is for. This is what your purpose is, to be shechted. This is why you're here in this world, to be fed by human beings. Amri, and he said, Hovel velo kamarachem leisu ale yisurin. And they said, since he didn't have rachmanas on this agala, these Yisurin came on him. 13 years of Yisurin, the Gemara says, for the fact that he didn't have Rachmanis on this calf. What's Rav Kook saying? Rav Kook saying that, again, he should have had the sensitivity, not to shech the animal. You could shech the animal, but have the sensitivity to realize that's not really our ideal. It's not really the kach no tzartza. That's why you exist. And that was the lack of sensitivity. So where does this idea start from? So this idea is not only Rav Kook's idea, but it starts right in the very, very beginning of Sefer Bereishis. What's the opening story of Bereishis? Adam is created on the sixth day of creation. And what does it say? And Pasuk Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, Vayivarech Osam Elokim, Hashem blesses them, Vayomer Lehem Elokim, Pruvu Meluas Haaretz V'Kivshua. I want you to multiply. I want you to fill the land, V'Kivshua. And I want you to kind of conquer the land. Uredu B'Dgas Hayam. And again, I want you to rule over the fish in the sea, Bova Shamayim, V'Chol Chayar Mesa Aretz. I want you to rule over all the animals, right? So now that may sound like, these are all yours. They're yours for the taking. Enjoy the animals. Do what you like with them. But what does it say in the very next pasuk? Vayomer Elokim, Hine nasati lachem es kol esev zorea zera asher al pnei kol haaretz, ves kol etz asher bo pri etz zorea zera lachem yelachla. Hashem says, you know what you can eat though? You can eat the plants. You want to eat? You can eat anything that grows from the ground. That is yours to eat. And it's clear from the Midrashim, from the Gemara and Sanhedrin, it's clear that what that means is that when Adam HaRishon was created, he was actually not permitted to eat animals, right? When did it become permissible to eat animals? Only after the Chayda Mabel, right? Noach comes out of the Teva, Perek Tess and Sefer Bereishis, your source number 4 on your sheet. What happens when Noach walks out of the Teva? Again, if we were doing a whole Chumash class on Bereishis, we would discuss it's really the same language, right? As Hashem said to Adam, it's the same language as to Noach. I want you to multiply, I want you to fill the land. And what does he say here? Umarachem v'chidchem yah kol chayas ha'aretz v'akol av ha'shamayim. I want your fear, again, your awe, to be on all the animals and all the birds. B'chol asher timas nema chol dagayam edigachem. Kol remes asher hu chai lachem yelachla. Ki yerek esev nasati lachem es hakol. Now Hashem says to Noah, right? Now everything that crawls in the ground, every animal, for you it is to eat like what? Like the esev, like the plants that I had permitted to Adam HaRishon. Explains Rav Kook, and this is not that hard of a jump to understand, we see that the ideal state of man, when man was originally created, we were created not to eat animals. We were created not to kill animals for our benefit. We're not supposed to just kill animals, eat them, enjoy their meat, have a great steak, and throw it on the grill. That's not the intention of man. Man was created to be on a much more elevated state. Man couldn't exist on that elevated state. Man sinned. Man messed up. So Hashem says, okay, Noach is now it's time for Noach. Okay, we're going to change the rules a little bit, right? When I permitted the plants to Adam, I'm permitting you to eat the animals now. But says Rav Kook, we see that there was an ideal. We see that there was a different level that we were supposed to be on. And he says, is it possible that we're never supposed to return to that? We're never going to go back to that ideal state that existed before Adam HaRishon did the sin before the Chayda Mabel? Of course, we're going to return to that state at some point. We're not there yet, but at some point, there's an ideal that we're going to return there. What? I apologize, but I don't know that you're going to be able to keep the... So, says Rav Kook furthermore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted us to eat animals, if you look in source number 5, what does it say? Ki archiv Hashem Elokecha es gvulcha kasher dibra lecha amarta ochla basar. When Hashem will expand your borders and he'll say, okay, you can eat meat. Ki saveh nafshecha lechol basar. Why are you allowed to eat meat? Because your soul desires the meat. Says Rav Kook something fascinating. Read. Really? You're not supposed to eat meat. Why is Hashem letting us eat meat? He doesn't use these words, but similar to the idea of Dibra Torah, right, Keneged Yetzirah, that the Torah speaks regarding our Yetzirah, you desire meat. You want to know why you're allowed to eat meat? Because you desire it. But ultimately, you're going to lose that desire. Because one day you're going to realize, right, that you're not supposed to be desiring that. And Rav Kook says this explicitly. If you look in source number 6 here, I quoted his language. At times, it's a very difficult Hebrew, and it was very long. But I quoted it when I thought that it was very powerful. He says, "Yesh kan ga'aras chacham nisteres ba'ara gavulis." There's this a little bit of like hidden rebuke of the chacham, and there's this ha'ara of the limits. Klomar, kol zman shemos mosrio secha hapnimis lotikos ba'achilas basar ba'alechayim. All the time that the musr, the inner musr, doesn't revolt against eating meat of animals, kamo shekvarata kesim basar adam, right? When you're going, that you had enough meat, shalkein lohutzrucha atar liftalav isra mefersh. The Torah doesn't need to say an isra on this. She'ena adam tzarech hazhara, amasha kanalok var musag tivi. You want to know why the Torah never tells us we're going to stop eating meat? Because you don't need to be warned on something that you already have a musag tivi. Shezehu kamefurish. This is already explicit, and he gives an example. Shebabo hatur shamatzav hamusriyan shila shakitz baser balechayim neagol hamusishiyesh b'halo azel lo save klan hashachal achabaser v'lo sochal. Right? There's going to be a time where you're not even going to need. You're not going to want to eat meat. Right? And when that time comes, right? You don't need an isser to do that. Cause you're not going to want it. And he says, and I apologize, I should have given you a little background. He says, this is just like, there's no isser in the Torah. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says you can't eat, you can't be a cannibal. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says you can't be a cannibal. Why not? There should be a pasuk. There's an isser in the Torah, you can't eat the basar of a human being. The pasuk doesn't exist. Look through Chamishah of the Torah, you won't find it. Why not, says Rav Kook? Because nobody desires that. If you don't desire it, Hashem doesn't have to tell us that it's usr. Hashem only tells us things that are usr that we desire. And says Rav Kook, the fact that the Torah says you're only allowed to eat meat because you desire it implies there's going to be a time where you're not going to desire it anymore. And when that time comes, says Rav Kook, you're not going to be allowed to eat meat anymore.
Hold on 1 second.
Yes.
If you were never allowed it, you never, because you weren't allowed to eat meat, so how could you have a desire for something you've never had?
You're saying human meat.
I know, talking about meat, isn't it? Well, we only ate before Noah.
This isn't before Noah. This isn't Sefer Devarim.
Right.
No, he's now much later in the Torah.
Right. He's saying your soul desires meat. How would the soul know to desire meat if it hadn't had it previously?
I don't know if that's so true, though. I would say that most, you know, men at a certain age in life desire women, even though they've never, right, experienced it. There's a desire. There's a natural yetzirah that we have for certain things. I think what the Rav Kook is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us for certain yetziraras. Even if I've never tried this sin, there's a yetzirah for it, right? I've never had a cheeseburger. I don't know. I can imagine it tastes pretty good, right? It's a type of food, right? I can imagine that I probably have a desire for it. Maybe some people it's shrimp. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's other yetziraras that we have, right? I mean, what Rav Kook is saying is that when Hashem has to ask for something in the Torah, it's because there's a built-in yetzirah for that. Fine. I just want to come back to something that was asked before. Rav Kook writes in very, very strong terms that we should not try and become vegetarians now. Because you would think the logical extension of this is, okay, so maybe we should become vegetarians, right? Rav Kook clearly thinks there's an ideal state. These secular people in his time, in the early 1900s, were pushing this idea of animal rights, right? We have nowadays also, again, organizations that push animal rights. Maybe we should all become vegetarians or vegans. Rav Kook writes very strongly, actually, not to be vegetarian right now. And what's his logic? So he says that when a person is not in a state of that level, you're actually skipping steps, and there are things that you should be doing beforehand. We're going to read it inside, and he writes it very strongly. It's source number 7. He says as follows. The Hashem understood that man has fallen from his original state. And until he gets back up onto that level, and he wakes up and he has this recognition of the truth, until that amazing moment, until that point, it is not roi for you at all. It's like anybody who tries to jump levels to, in the name of Hashem. So he actually detracts from the midas chasidus that's not really on his level. It's only going to bring confusion in your life. It's only going to bring you to not really be clear. Im al kol otum aso bo, right? While all of this tumah, this impurity is on us, yivsho tzlapav yivna ladera sakah harachoka, lischasin and ba'le chayim. Oh, while you're still immersed in all these impurities, you're going to jump levels, and you're going to think that you can just be nice to ba'le chayim. Ki ilu kvar gamar komach shosin b'nei adam bruim b'tzal melokim. Have you already finished all your work to do with people? You're so kind to every person that you know. The human beings, our society is such a kind society to every person that we're at the point that we're ready to focus on our kindness to animals. He says, no. He says, you can't do that. He says, and that is going to lead to worse things, and we as people have to first protect, fix our communities and our societies as human beings, and then we could jump to that level. It's not the same point, but it's a story that I love telling. So I'm going to share with you a story of a friend of mine. A friend of mine was getting married, and he went to Rav Yaakov Neuberger, for those who know him from New Jersey, he's Rosh Yeshiva NYU, and my friend went to Rav Yaakov Neuberger with his kala, and they said, you know, we're getting married, we're starting a new life together. You know, we'd really like to take upon ourselves a chumrah. We want a stringency, you know, to take upon ourselves, and we've decided that we'd like to take on ourselves the isser chadash, right? There's an isser to eat new grains, only to eat old grains, and they said, we want to take on the isser chadash. And Rav Neuberger paused, and he looked at this new couple that was about to get married, and he said, how about lashon hara? Meaning, what are you trying to be so frum and take on chadash? You have a lot to work on before we get to taking on these chumras, right? We think sometimes, and this is Rav Kook's point, we think sometimes, oh, I'm such a tzaddik, I'm going to worry about animals, and I'm going to care, I'm not going to eat another steak ever again in my life, I'm not going to eat a hot dog, chicken, nothing, I won't eat fish, right? Because I care so much about animals. Says Rav Kook, slow down. You know what I mean? Let's work on everything else in your life first. correct all your b'nam l'chaveiro, be kind to your family, you know, be good to everyone that in your community, and then we'll deal with being kind to animals. And he's very strong about it. He doesn't back down. Nowadays, b'zman hazeh, we're not at the point to take this level of stringency. In fact, he says, right, it's incorrect to do that, right? It's a chassid shota, not his words exactly, but it's trying to be a chassid in a way that's beyond your recognition. You're not able to do that yet. That's the ideal. We're just not there yet. Correct. He then explains, though, beautifully, that there are so many halachas in the Torah that point to us having the sensitivity. And what I want to explain, and what he does so beautifully, is he's saying it points to the sensitivity that we should have to the fact that this isn't the ideal. That doesn't mean, because it's not the ideal, right, that we're going to behave that way. It just means there's a sensitivity, there's a recognition, there's a knowledge, right? I teach high school students, and I tell them this all the time. I said there's a major difference between two types of high school kids that sin. There's high school kids that sin, and they think they're doing the right thing, and there's high school kids that sin, and they know I'm doing the wrong thing, but I'm doing it right now. And I think that piece is what Rav Kook is really saying, and I want to explain, is a really important distinction, meaning we all do the wrong thing sometimes. We do. We all mess up sometimes. But it's very important to not think that when we're doing the wrong thing, it's really the right thing, right? And when we're doing something, it's the ideal. And what Rav Kook is trying to explain is that the ideal, we're not there, but the ideal perfect state of the world is that we don't kill animals. That's the ideal. We're not there yet. We kill animals now. But when we do that, we're going to build in a sensitivity to it. I'm about to go through, I'll take your question in 1 second. He goes through many examples in the Torah, how the Torah is trying to give us this sensitivity, even in a time when we're going to still kill animals, we should have a little sensitivity to this issue. Yes?
Yes, what do you mean by we're not there? I'm reminded of
yes. So we're going to get to the Karbanos in a minute, but the answer, what Cook is trying to say, is that we as a society have not imperfected all our other areas that we... Again, it's a good question. I would say each person, I can't answer for individuals, each person has to take their own individual cheshbon, but I think what Rav Kook was trying to say is that don't try and jump levels, meaning, and I'm not saying that nobody's on that level, he's saying each person should think of their own level and where they're at, but as a society, right, we definitely shouldn't think we're at that level, and he's trying to say I'm not promoting vegetarianism. Whether or not a person who came to and wants a vegetarian, he would say that's fine, I have to imagine if he would deal with that individually, but he was saying as a community, that's not the next logical step. So what are the examples in the Torah? So most of them are not on your sheet. Most of them are just psukim and things that we know. So I'm gonna tell you them from, again, not from the sheets. I'll tell you from the mitzvahs that we know. He says the mitzvah of shvisas behemto, right? There's a mitzvah on Shabbos, right? That not just that you have to rest, but your animals have to rest. Why? Let your animals go in the field and do work, right? And you'll sit at home and rest. He says, it's fascinating, but he says, right, Shabbos, Main Olam Haba, future, right? So we're trying to recognize that actually in that perfect state, animals are going to rest too on Shabbos. There's an idea, right, that even animals, and we're going to get to ideas at the end that you're going to say are wild. They're psukim and yeshayo, but they're wild ideas. Even animals, there's a sensitivity to the fact that even animals one day will reach that level. He talks about the mitzvah kisui hadam. Again, it's a little the details of kisui hadam are a little technical and complicated, but when we shecht certain animals, so you have to take the blood and cover it in dirt. So there are a lot of reasons given by the Rishonim and different, the Sefer HaChinuch and others, of why we do kisui hadam. Rav Kook has a fascinating pshat. He says, you want to know why we do kisui hadam? Because there's a level of embarrassment that we're shechting an animal. We're a little bit embarrassed. There's a sensitivity that Hashem is trying to change. We don't really want this to be happening. We cover the blood almost to like cover our shame. We're a little bit embarrassed this. We're not so proud of it. We're not just doing it openly. We're covering up a little bit to show a sensitivity.
Why is it?
Good question. He talks about it like very briefly, and I didn't fully understand it. It's a good question. What about the idea that shechita itself, we do shechita in a way, right? The Gemara says explicitly, in a way that's supposed to give the least pain to the animal. Again, if you're killing the animal, why do you kill the animal? because they're trying to have a sensitivity. There's a sensitivity that it's not, there's something that we're trying to be sensitive to. The isser of osov yespino. We don't kill a mother or a bird and its child on the same, why? Again, it's just an animal. There's sensitivity. Shiluach hakein, sending away the mother bird. All of these things are sensitivities. He has two fascinating pshatim on two mitzvos to the sensitivity. The isser of shatness, right? You're not allowed to mix wool and linen. When I read this, I was blown away. It's just a fascinating pshat. Rav Kook says, what's the isser of shatness? What's the pshat? He says the pshat is as follows. What is wool and what is linen? Linen comes from things that grow from the ground. Wool comes from shearing of an animal. If you put wool and linen together, what you're doing is you're equating the way we use animals and the way we use things that grow from the ground. We can't do that. He says there's a sensitivity to it. Linen, you want to use things that grow from the ground for your own benefit? That's great. Wool, it's not the same. We do use it. It's not the same. You want to equate them, right? You want to put them together and put them on the same level? That's what he says. He says you can't be. Yeah. Rav Kook. All Rav Kook. Yeah. You're saying that's, no, but a Jew should have a sensitivity, 100%. Honestly, that's what I would say. That's for a non-Jew. A Jew is supposed to have a certain sensitivity. That's what we have, that's the mitzvah, to be more sensitive. Even the idea, we're doing Parsha Shemini, we should really talk about it, right? Many Mefarshim talk about this. Even the idea that what happened, think of the sequence. First, you can't eat any animals. Then you could eat all animals. And then Hashem says you could eat some animals, right? So why did he do that? So many Mefarshim say that for Jews, there's a certain, you can't eat everything, right? There's a certain limitation. So Rav Kook's angle on the limitation may be different, but that notion, right? So yeah, for a Jew, that Isser of Shan is to have a little sensitivity, to plant in our, to, no pun intended, to plant in us that idea that we're supposed to have a little sensitivity to animals. He also explains, again, I thought this was beautiful and novel, and I was almost like embarrassed, I never really thought of it before. But the Isser of eating meat and milk together, what is the language that the Torah has for that? Good. Source number 8, it appears 3 times in the Torah, Lo Savashel Gedi V'Chalev Imo. And I've always kind of thought about it, my students have always kind of cynically asked me, but like, why do we phrase it that way? It's such a weird phraseology, right? Just say, don't cook meat and milk. Don't cook, right? A Gedi in the milk of his mother. So says Rav Kook, it's an amazing shot. He says, let's think about this for a second. Why does an animal have milk? Why does an animal fundamentally have milk? To feed its children, right? To feed its own children, its own offspring, we're supposed to get the milk. We take the milk for ourselves, but in a perfect state of the animal really has that milk for its own child, right? So now Hashem says, I'm going to let you kill the Gedi, right? Okay, I'm going to let you kill the, you're allowed to eat this child. There's a permissibility to eat this meat. Again, not ideal, but Hashem says, I let you do that because that's the level that you need, right? Says Rav Kook, you're going to put that Gedi b'chalev imo? That's such achzarius. That's so wicked, right? You're taking the Gedi. I begrudgingly let you eat this Gedi, right? And now you're going to cook it in its mother's milk? Like that, no, it's a beautiful, again, just read it, it's a sensitivity here. I don't even want you eating this Gedi, and you're going to, it's like rubbing salt on the wound. You're going to cook it in its own mother's milk? Again, that's the notion, it's trying to give us sensitivity. Huh? Yeah, it's a sensitivity that we're trying to create here. So now Rav Kook moves on to the topic that we talked about 2 weeks ago. What about karbanos? So a person's going to hear this whole shir, and they're going to say, how can we bring karbanos, right? So Rav Kook, I'm going to read it to you inside. This is not, I had to read this to you inside, because it's amazing. Rav Kook says, before I read this line, I'm just going to tell you, Rav Kook says, yes, we bring karbanos now. As long as we eat animals, you can't say, how can we eat animals and bring karbanos, right? That's a hypocrite, right? You're going to enjoy karbanos yourself. You're going to enjoy animals, eat them yourself. But you're not going to bring karbanos to Hashem. That can't be true. But he says, ubekol demama daka, omeres chachma Yisrael. The kol demama daka, if you're not familiar, is a psukim in the end of Malachim Aleph, right? It's that there's a soft, still voice. Right, it's a reference to the soft, still voice of Hashem. There's a soft, still voice that the wise people of Yisrael say Hakabbalah, that's taught in Kabbalah of the Arizal. Madregas hachai de la asid lavo, the madrega of an animal in the future tia kibichinas hamedaber da achshav ayadei aliyos haolamos. It's going to be the level of a medaber right now through the elevations of the worlds. Says Rav Kook, quoting the Arizal, in the future worlds, the level of the animal today is going to be the level of what human beings are today, right? Meaning the animal is going to be the level of human beings today. Human beings are going to keep rising. We're going to keep getting higher. But the animal is going to rise up to the level of the human being. And this, listen to his language. Mi lo yavin. Who won't understand? She'i efshar lahalos hadash yika ha'adam esbanav. Who would think that a man would take his child? Beruach asher yitavchem v'yarbasam la'ativ la'askil. In the same spirit that you're supposed to raise these children and make them great and make them good, you're going to shech them? You're going to kill them? He says, he's comparing, if you don't understand his language, he's saying that in the future, killing an animal is going to feel like killing your own child, right? A person wouldn't take their own child and kill it. Of course not. So you would take an animal and kill it? You're just going to kill it for your own benefit? Amnam, he says, however, hazmanim, rechavim, shonim, va'aruchim, ve'esachol chefetz. Again, these times are far away. It's in the distant future. There's a time for everything. But he's saying there's this voice that in the future, there's going to be this time. Now, you may be thinking at this point that I'm crazy, which is, I hope you don't think that. It's also not me. It's straight from Rav Kook, so don't think Rav Kook is crazy. But Rav Kook says it's actually psukim straight from Sefer Yeshaya. If you look in Sefer Yeshaya, source number 10, the psukim say, what's going to happen? The wolf will live with the lamb, the leper will lie with the kid, a calf and a lion come will lie together, and a small child shall lead them. The cow and the bear are gonna graze together. Right, their children are going to be there. And a lion, like the cattle, shall eat straw. The lion is going to become a herbivore. And an infant shall play over the hole of an old snake and over the eyeball of an adder. A weaned child shall stretch forth his hand. The children are going to be playing with the snakes, you know, playing around with them. They shall not harm nor destroy on all of my, again, on my holy mountain, for the whole land will be full of knowledge of Hashem, like, and as the water covers the sea. Right? What's going to happen? Lots of love. All the animals are going to be friends. The little kids are going to be playing with the animals. The animals are going to eat grass. Everything's going to change. Says Rav Kook, it's beferish. Yeshayahu is telling us that lots of love, the whole world's going to be totally different. We can't even imagine such an existence. It happens to be, it's a little parenthetical, but I put it on the source sheet, the Rambam, in source number 11, we're not gonna read it inside for time's sake, but the Rambam in source number 11 says, don't think that in Yemos HaMashiach everything's gonna change and the world's gonna be different. And he says, you're gonna quote to me the psukim in Yeshayahu that we just read, that everything's gonna be different. And the Rambam says, no, that's just a mashal for human beings. Everything that's here is a mashal. It's an analogy to human beings. It's not meant to be taken literally. And it's clearly machlokes whether or not you should read these psukim literally. Like Rav Kook is saying, the Rambam is saying, no, they're not literal. They're meant to be as an analogy for human beings. It was never meant to be taken literally. So what's with karbanos then? We spoke about this. A few weeks ago, right? Which is karbanos ideal? Is karbanos a concession? It's clear, though, it seems clear from the Rambam and from all sources, that whether it's ideal or it's a concession, there will be karbanos in the future. So we spoke about last time, 2 weeks ago, one approach of the Abar Banel, how to explain that. Rav Kook, though, has a fascinating, really fascinating shot on what's the deal with karbanos lost at Lavo. How does it fit into his whole approach? His whole approach is that eventually there's going to be this ideal state where animals are going to be risen to a higher level. They're going to be almost on the level of human beings, right? We're not going to kill animals for our own benefit. So how can we bring karbanos? So Rav Kook says, the answer is in a pasuk that we say every single day, three times a day in Shemoneh Esrei. Every single day and three times in Shemoneh Esrei, at the very, very end of Shemoneh Esrei, after we take our three steps back in the Hira Tzom, we say, a pasuk in Sefer Malachi, the very end of Nevuah, the pasuk says, Va'arva, source 13, Varva Lashem Minchas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim Kimei Lamech Shemekonios. That's going to be sweet to Hashem, the Mincha of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, like the days of old, like the old years. Why does the Pesukim highlight the Mincha? right? It's going to be sweet to Hashem, the Karbanos Yehuda, the Shlamim of Yehuda, right? The Ola of Yehuda, the Minchas Yehuda, the fine flour Karban is going to be the old days. So explains Rav Kook. Rav Kook writes this in Afikim Banegev. This one source, though, is a little bit more well-known. In his Olas Re'ia, his commentary on the Siddur, he does make this one comment, which is perfectly in line with everything we said today. Says Rav Kook in source number 14, Ba'alei ha'chayim ha'krevim l'mezbeach, any animal that is brought on the Mezbeach, chal behem atzim ha'tikun a'idei hisalusam li'ozevach la'ashem. They have some kind of tikkun, some kind of fixing in the fact that they're brought as karbanos to Hashem. Shekeivan she'ein mehem das, since they don't have knowledge, einam magim las'alos kiim b'maisa nasim hem b'halos la'Hashem damam v'chalbam. Since these animals don't have the right knowledge, again, in this time, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, to rise up themselves, so we elevate them through a karban. She'ein ikar mochon ha'nefesh, and it's through the dam and the chelev, because that's the main part of the nefesh. Ma she'ein kein ha'adam, as opposed to man, man doesn't need to be killed in order to get close to Hashem. We have das, we have an understanding. We get close to Hashem with the knowledge of coming close, not with sacrificing our own bodies. In the future, shefa hadas yispashet v'yechader afilu balei chayim. This idea of das is going to spread even to the animals. Lo yiru v'lo yashris v'chol har kachi kumlei aras deyas Hashem. He quotes that same pasuk in Yeshayahu, right? That they're not going to destroy anything because the whole world is going to be full of deyas of Hashem. V'akrava shatia az shal mincha. What's going to be the karbanos that we bring in the future? It's going to be a karban mincha. Me'ahat sameach. From the plants, Tarev LaHashem Kimei Olam Hashem Kamanios. That's going to be sweet to Hashem, like in the days of old. Explains Rav Kook. Yes, in the Lasid level, the only karbanos we're going to bring are the karbanos of Mincha, because that comes from plants. We're not going to kill animals for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same way we're not going to eat animals for our own benefit. Lasid level. I apologize if you're imagining the future in a time of having sitting down and eating steak, says Rav Kook at least, that's not the reality. We're not going to eat animals for our own benefit, and we're not going to shech karbanos for our own benefit. The only karban we're going to bring is a karban mincha, and we say it every day in Shemoneh Esrei, Varvala Hashem minchas Yehuda. It's going to be the mincha of Yehuda. And finally, that's source 12. I skipped it, but yeah. So, the last thing I want to explain to you is that he explains beautifully the psukim in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, and we'll close with this. the psukim talk about when a person brings a karban. So we're describing the first karbanos, the ola, again, the chatas, the shlamim, it says, Adam ki yakrev mikem, it says a man when he brings for you. In the beginning of Perek Bet, when it talks about the Karban Mincha, it says, V'nefesh ki takrev Karban Mincha. So Rashi already picks up on that fact, and Rashi says it's about an ani, a poor person versus other people. Rav Kook says, no, I'll tell you the pshat. The pshat is that all the other Karbanos are killing animals, right? So when you're killing animals, that's coming from the Adam. That's coming from the physical side of you, right? Because that's the side that's not really in tune to the sensitivity. The only karban that's really from the nefesh, from the real soul of a person, is the mincha. Because the mincha doesn't kill an animal. And even there's built in the sensitivity. That the nefesh ki sakriv, the only thing that's the nefesh, that's really the inner soul that's being makriv, is the karban mincha. So just to summarize and to close, the hashkafa, again, I said a hashkafa, not the hashkafa, but the hashkafa of Rav Kook, it's truly a fascinating mahalach in terms of how we understand animals. Rav Kook's approach is basically that these people that are onto the animal rights have some kind of sensitivity, they have some kind of feeling of an appreciation of the fact that there really is a level that we're an ideal state that we're supposed to reach. We're not at that state yet. We're not at that level, and we shouldn't try and be at that level yet. At least as a community, maybe as individuals, we shouldn't try and be at that level. We shouldn't try to yet have that full sensitivity to animals and become vegetarian and become extreme, but we should at least have some level of sensitivity to the fact that we're not living in the ideal, that there is an ideal state where animals will be treated better, where animals won't be killed, not just for our personal benefit, even for karbanos they won't be killed, that there is a state in which, like Adam before, kodem achet, like Adam before, again, before the chet and before the mabul, when the only thing we were eating was plants and that we treated animals with a certain level, and there's a certain, again, existence that's going to come back, where animals will be treated that way. Again, again, it's an approach, I think a fascinating approach, and one that certainly has a sensitivity, which I think is really beautiful. We'll stop here. Everyone have a great day. Yeah.